Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What is the position of the LDS Church regarding race relations? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me to discuss this question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We are continuing our look at an article that is on the LDS Newsroom website, an article titled Mormonism 101 FAQ, or Frequently Asked Questions. As we have explained in the past, this was an article that was put together that actually criticizes the sloppy journalism that the Mormon Church feels is going on right now when it comes to reporting what the Mormon Church actually teaches and believes. And if you have been following us in this series, you will know that as we go through it point by point, that really, I feel, it's the Mormon Church that is neglecting their duty and being precise and clear, even though the statement itself says, as an institution, the church has a responsibility to publicly and clearly articulate its official teachings. In these short little snippets, it really doesn't do that. You would really have to do a lot of in-depth reading from a lot of church manuals and listening to conference messages and things like that. But at the same time, I feel that the Mormon Church could have been much more clear on its history and its current doctrines than the way it has performed in this article titled Mormonism 101 FAQ.
Well, listen to how they answer the question, what is the position of the church regarding race relations? This is how they start out. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone. The Book of Mormon states, black and white, bond and free, male and female, all are alike unto God. 2 Nephi 26:33. This is the church's official teaching.
Now let me ask this though, Eric. Wasn't 2 Nephi 26:33 a part of Mormonism's official teaching prior to 1978?
Well, the Book of Mormon came out in 1830, so I would assume it would still have been part of in play since 1830.
Doesn't it seem odd that the Mormon Church is using this verse out of the Book of Mormon to give the impression that they have always treated everybody equal or alike unto God, when we know that that certainly is not the case?
Well, look at the next line after that. People of all races have always been welcomed and baptized into the church since its beginning. To me, that makes it sound like everybody's accepted, always has been, always will be.
Yeah, you would think that if a person was to join the Mormon Church, that there would be no distinction based on race or skin color, because that's the verse they quoted just prior to the sentence that you just read. If I'm a journalist and I'm trying to understand Mormonism in a broad context, I would look at most churches, most Christian churches, that if you joined the church, you were baptized in a particular church, that obviously it would have something to do with your faithfulness and ability to be a good Christian, being good at what you claim to be. I'm certainly that would be a part of it.
But it would be assumed that you would have the full rights and privileges of anybody who's a member of that church.
Right. You would have the ability. That's a good word to use. You would have the ability. And we know in Mormonism prior to 1978 that that was not the case. It's not that a person of black skin could not go on a mission, but they could not go through the temple endowment ceremony. They could not be sealed to their wife for time and eternity. They could not hope to become gods in the next life without that much-needed Melchizedek priesthood. And the church, of course, changed that in 1978, even though Mormon leaders prior to 1978 were saying that it would never be changed during this lifetime, during this mortality. It would take place in the next life.
And we spent a lot of time in previous shows talking about Randy Bott and that whole issue, that if anybody wanted to hear, they could go on to our website, mrm.org, and go on to the podcast, and they can find those shows if they want to get into more detail with what you're saying.
Now, this statement does talk about the fact that there was a time when black males, were not allowed to hold the priesthood. But it kind of words it in an interesting fashion. It says, during this time, some black males were ordained to the priesthood. At some point, the church stopped ordaining male members of African descent, although there were a few exceptions. It is not known precisely why, how, or when this restriction began in the church. And as you've mentioned, we've talked about this in past broadcasts, but I want to bring up another angle on this, because when they say they don't know precisely why, how, or when this restriction began in the church, I think that kind of skirts the issue.
Oh, yes.
They know enough of why. They don't have to know all the individual particulars. But I want to read you a quote. This is from a Mormon apostle. And he says this, and I'm going to tell you the name afterwards. "We know from the doctrines that we have received." Notice he uses the word doctrines. Mm-hmm. What was the one argument the Mormon church said? It's never been a doctrine. It was never a doctrine. It was all based on speculation, even folklore. "We know from the doctrines that we have received that men and women have existed before coming into this life for countless ages, and that we have been developing certain qualities. And the reason we are separated into great classes as the Negro race and the other races on the earth is not a matter of caprice. God did not take three beautiful children yesterday morning and say to one, 'You go to the Negro woman,' and to another one, 'You go to that Chinese mother,' and to another, 'You go down to that beautiful Christian home.' All are getting what they are entitled to receive here." This was Melvin J. Ballard, a Mormon apostle. This was the grandfather of M. Russell Ballard,
right,
who currently serves as a Mormon apostle. Now, I have to assume that Melvin Ballard never sat down with his little grandson, who would eventually become an apostle in the church, and never explained why he held to certain positions. Maybe he never did. I don't know. But then I have to also make the assumption that M. Russell Ballard never read his own grandfather's speeches or writings.
And I was just going to say that. I mean, you're going to know what especially somebody who was a general authority, you're going to know what they taught and probably is well studied on his grandfather.
Yeah. Well, let's look at another thing. Thomas Monson, the current president of the Mormon mm-hmm. Church, Thomas Monson's been around for a long time. See, folks, you got to understand, these guys didn't just spring up overnight. They have been a part of this organization for years. Monson became an apostle back in the 1960s,
1963.
Mm-hmm. And he was, like you say, Eric, he was on the fast track moving on up in the hierarchy. But what did Thomas Monson say in a book that he wrote, On the Lord's Errand, Memoirs of Thomas S. Monson? This book came out in 1985. You're not going to find it on the bookshelves, folks. And this quote is probably one reason why you're going to have to find it in the Special Collections Department at the University of Utah.
And if you do,
this is what he says.
If you do, it's page 184, and here's what it says. In about 1956, we recognized that our neighborhood was deteriorating. We observed this one Halloween by the nature of the people who came in the guise of trick-or-treat. The minority elements were moving into the area where we lived. Many of the old-time families had long since moved away. Seeking counsel, I visited with Marky Peterson, who for many years had been the general manager of the Deseret News. O. Preston Robinson, my former professor of marketing at the University of Utah, has succeeded Brother Peterson as the general manager at the News. I mentioned to Mark my dilemma, wondering if it would be unfair for me to move. He said simply, quote, Your obligation to that area is concluded. Why don't you build a house in my ward? End quote.
Okay, so Thomas Monson notices what he says, the minority elements moving into his area. And I know where he lived. I know the corner. There's a big office complex there right now. So it was near downtown. But he goes to who? He goes to Mark E. Peterson.
As a counselor.
He went for counsel. Now, this is the same Mark Peterson who said, With all this in mind, can we account in any other way for the birth of some of the children of God in darkest Africa or in flood-ridden China or among the starving hordes of India, while some of the rest of us are born here in the United States? We cannot escape the conclusion that because of performance in our pre-existence, some of us are born as Chinese, some as Japanese, some as Indians, some as Negroes, some as Americans, some as Latter-day Saints. These are rewards and punishments fully in harmony with his established policy in dealing with sinners and saints, rewarding all according to their deeds. Again, emphasizing the fact that the reason why that you're born where you are has something to do with your performance in the pre-existence. And this is still taught today. And we're going to do some more shows on this because this is still being taught today, that somehow what you did in the pre-existence determines where you were born on earth and even what skin color you have.
Now, you don't think that Monson and Peterson ever talked about this issue? Now, they had, since 1963, when Monson became an apostle, until the death of Peterson in 1988, for over 25 years, they would have been apostles together. They would have discussed issues like that. They went through 1978 with the in June, the Black Revelation that was given. They were part of that as well. You would think this issue would have been up at the forefront of their conversations.
I think you're right on that. Now, here's my question. Am I going to really believe that whenever Mark E. Peterson was giving his opinions on these type of positions, or when M. Russell Ballard or Melvin J. Ballard had given his positions on this? Let's put it in a context with his friendship with Peterson. Now, when Peterson is saying these kind of things, do you think Monson ever went, "Excuse me, Mark, I think that's really based in speculation"?
No.
"I think you're dealing more with folklore, Mark. Are you sure about that? I don't think so for a minute."
No, that would be silly.
This is the kind of scenario that the Mormon Church wants us to believe today. Now, when we look at the statement in Mormonism 101, would a journalist know all the background information of this? No.
And that's our complaint about this entire Mormonism 101 FAQ. The problem is they're just giving simplistic answers. They're not getting very deep. Having a journalistic degree from a college, I understand that the why is the biggest part of what makes a journalist tick. And you're not giving him very much to work with. No wonder you're upset with the errors that they might be making, because you're not giving them upfront information.
Yeah, and I do think that they are not being fair with the journalists. They expect the journalists to get it right, but yet they only give part of the story. They're almost forcing the journalists and forcing the general public as a whole to draw conclusions based on this kind of information. And as we have talked about in the past, if, according to Robert Matthews from BYU, if you give people only a partial bit of information and allow them to draw a conclusion that would not have been the same had they been given the whole picture, it's the same as lying.
That's the bottom line.
And it's interesting. The Mormon Church feels no remorse for this. They feel no need to repent of this. And, of course, this bad information is just put upon the general public, and they are somehow responsible for getting it right?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in Utah to look at the largest inventory of Christian books addressing the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, located at 1358 South and West Temple, just across the street from Spring Mobile Ballpark. Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding a resource that will help meet your study needs. Now, the store also carries dozens of books that she and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades. This includes Mormonism, Shadow, or Reality. And if you have questions, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to speak with you. If you want to go deeper into any issue related to Mormonism, we invite you to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, once again located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. We look forward to seeing you soon.